Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing schools become bastions of creativity and wonder. And so in this podcast, we look at the intersection of creativity and student learning. And right now, I want to talk about something that's really valuable in creativity, and it's this idea of growth mindset. It's the notion that you will make mistakes, lots and lots of mistakes, but in the process, you will develop talents if you have a growth mindset. It's the belief that ability and skill is not innate, that your talent is something that you cultivate, and that mistakes are a part of the learning process. And so for that reason, I think it's incredibly valuable to have a growth mindset when you're doing creative work. And this is especially true for children. I've said this before, but it drives me crazy when I hear the words creative type, because there is no creative type. Every single student is naturally creative. And for that reason, I want to explore this idea of the growth mindset. And I'm going to start out, no shocker here at all, right, with a story. About 6 weeks ago, my son asked if he could start a cubing club for anyone interested in solving Rubik's Cubes together. Now, heads up, cubers get really sensitive about calling it a Rubik's Cube because that's almost never the brand they use. And so it would be a little bit like calling a soda a Pepsi when we all know that Pepsi is disgusting. Anyway, he planned it out, and this was the concept. They would meet on Tuesday nights at 7:30 p.m. at a local grocery store that has this really cool eating area upstairs that's never all that busy on a Tuesday night. He gathered his friends' cell phone numbers and reminded them on multiple days. And finally, Tuesday night rolled around and nobody showed up. So he asked them if a different time would work. He reminded them again. His friends seemed excited about it. The second Tuesday rolls around and again, nobody shows up. For two more Tuesdays, it continues. He sits alone with his mom, really uncool for a sixth grader, trying his hardest not to be crushed by disappointment. He brainstorms possible ideas for why this might be failing. Maybe they need to do a virtual hangout. Maybe they should go earlier. Maybe the parents just need to get to know each other. Maybe we should have it at our house. Finally, on the fifth Tuesday, one kid shows up. Together, they solve Rubik's Cubes and talk about strategies and algorithms. And then last night, the same kid showed up again. They had a blast, and three more kids have said that they will show up next week. This whole process has been painful to watch. I so badly want to shelter my son from any sense of rejection. I want to keep him from pain. I don't want him to fail. But ultimately, regardless of whether or not this cubing club works, this whole experience has actually made him bolder and more confident. And more importantly, he is developing a growth mindset. And I'm not surprised. He has had this same growth mindset on a ton of things that he's done. For example, in starting cubing to begin with, he was the slowest one for the longest amount of time. All of his friends were super into it, and he just practiced more and failed more, and then he got really, really good at cubing. And this is what he does all the time. And it's so different than who I was as a kid. I was so scared of failure. I was so scared of making mistakes. I believed that I lacked talent, and therefore I would always hedge my bets as a kid. But he's not like that. So it has me thinking about growth mindset. For all the talk of grit and high standards and letting kids fail, I find it interesting that a growth mindset is rarely the result of a high-pressure, high-standards, accountability-driven environment. In fact, it's usually kind of the opposite. There's a certain slack necessary for developing this type of growth mindset. And as I think about my son's experience and the growth mindset I've seen in others, and even the growth mindset that I've slowly cultivated in my own life, I notice certain trends that help make it possible. So I'm going to share these with you. Number one, the freedom to fail. Imagine what would have happened if we had told our son, "We're going to hold you accountable for your attendance." We would have shut him down after the first or second weeks. He would have gotten an F, and that would have been the end of the story. This would have led to a fixed mindset where he says, "Maybe I don't have friends, or maybe I'm not a leader, or maybe I shouldn't plan events, or maybe whatever." But that's not what happened. That's not how it worked at all. He continued to try and to make these tiny tweaks and to treat each failure as a chance to refine what he was doing. He viewed the failure as a chance to learn rather than an indictment on his ability. I think that's important. Number two, provide a safe environment. When I look at places that cultivate a growth mindset, there's often a transparency and even a vulnerability that's present. These are places with mutual trust and often deep and profound collaboration. It's why perseverance is such a strong feature at Pixar. It's built into the company culture. They don't grade their animators on the work that they do, for example. They grade them on the risks that they take, and I think that is fascinating. It is a place where it is safe. Number three, tap into intrinsic motivation. I get it. My son loves cubing. He and his friends are planning to go to cubing competitions. They're filming videos. They look up new algorithms. He is driven to keep going. And this is a very deep intrinsic drive. I think this is a key component that often gets overlooked when people talk about the growth mindset. And even the idea of grit, which is not the same thing, but is often lumped together. It's really hard to develop perseverance in an area that you simply have no interest in. If, for example, I suck at fixing cars. I don't have a growth mindset. I have a fixed mindset. I am bad at fixing cars. But I also have no drive at all to become good at that. I don't want to fix cars. I don't want to get greasy and dirty. I don't want to be under a hood. None of it sounds fun to me. And for this reason, I'm always going to have this fixed mindset about fixing cars, and I'm really okay with that. Number four, respect student agency. People are able to develop a growth mindset when they have a greater sense of agency, when they have this general sense of control over what they're doing, and they can engage in metacognition and self-reflection, and then they grow more confident. And they begin to view mistakes as learning experiences and as obstacles that aren't obstacles at all. They're problems that they can solve. Number five, give honest feedback. I've worked with the same cohort of teacher candidates for nearly a year and a half now. And I've noticed a trend. The ones who have grown the most are the ones who are willing to take creative risks. They're not afraid of mistakes. But not only that, they're also the ones who openly solicit feedback. They want to know what's working and what's failing. They embrace that with almost a passion. And they're constantly refining their craft because they believe that they will improve. They are not afraid of feedback. They don't think that when someone criticizes them, for example, that that person hates them or that it somehow confirms that there's something inherently wrong with them. Instead, they just view it as a chance to get better. Number six, value effort over results. Now, Carol Dweck, the one who came up with growth mindset, often talks about the importance of praising effort over ability. But I think it's a little bit deeper than that. I think that you should be praising and valuing effort over results. people are more likely to develop a growth mindset when they value the process over the product. And when they see that you might not always be able to control the results, but you can control the process. You can control how hard you work, how smart you're being about it, whether or not you're willing to work with others, if you're taking creative risks. Those are the things that you can control. And when people really understand and value those things, then they don't see failure as permanent. And I think that's important. Number seven, relationships and community. There's this myth out there about the resilient Lone Ranger sticking with it despite negative feedback and somehow, you know, continuing and plowing through and proving everyone wrong. And maybe it's not the Lone Ranger. Maybe it's more like Rudy. But when you study people with a growth mindset, you'll often notice that there is a community, and if not a community, at least a series of relationships where they are affirmed in who they are. It's a side of the growth mindset conversation that I think people ignore. But I think it's an area of nuance that's important. It's this idea that people need to be affirmed and encouraged and challenged within a community, that a growth mindset is not purely individualistic. One of the dangers I see in the last point of valuing effort over results is that I'll hear people saying things like, don't tell a child that they're an artist, praise them for the effort in doing art. But I think it's a little more nuanced. Sometimes you need a community to affirm who you are and what you're doing. You need people to say, for example, you are an artist, and that is a beautiful thing. And you need a nurturing environment that can provide skills that you need to succeed. The problem I see in the conversations around growth mindset is the same thing you hear all the time in the conversations around grit. And it's that it fails to understand that there is a time and a place for affirmation. That it's not being soft on people. It's actually being really positive. And you're not making excuses for them. You're telling them it's okay to screw up because you'll get better in the end. It is a very low stakes type of environment that often produces the highest results. The bottom line is that you can't simply switch from a fixed or growth mindset just by thinking differently. Yes, that's a part of it, but that's not the only part. It requires work and action, and it's often connected to culture and context. But here's the exciting part. These are all things that we as educators can cultivate in our classrooms. And when we do these things and our students begin to develop a growth mindset, they take more creative risks and they do better creative work. And that's pretty amazing. Thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Again, I'm John Spencer. If you enjoy this podcast at all, will you do two things for me? Will you tell a friend about it, which would be awesome? And then would you also leave a review on iTunes? It's been really encouraging to see some of the reviews come in, and it lets me know how I'm doing, but it also lets people find this show. So if you do that, that would mean the world to me.